I'm back. Yeah, I had a month vacation. It's the first time I've done that in a long, long, long time. You can turn to Genesis chapter 22. This is the story of the life of Abraham that takes place when his son Isaac was a boy. I'm not sure how old the boy was, whether he was 8 or 10 or 13. I think he was probably somewhere around 10 or 12, just by the way Isaac interacts with his father. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took this knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, or as it is in Hebrew in some Bibles, Jehovah Jireh, it means the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And your seed, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and as we look into it this morning, I pray that you would just, by your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts what you want to show us about yourself and about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and about how you interact with us and how you want us to respond to you. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One time, this would be about 20 years ago, I went to a seminar on aging. And it was they had us do an exercise, and the exercise was take five pieces of paper and put a person's name on each paper. Take another five pieces of paper and put a possession that you appreciate on it. And take another five pieces of paper and put an activity you like to do on them. Then the man said, remove one of those, cut it down to four. And they said, now remove four and just leave one. And boy, that was hard to do. But he said, that's what happens when you age. Because you lose friends, you lose things you can't use anymore, and you lose activities you can't do anymore. Except you don't get to choose. I thought, well, maybe it was easier that way. I don't know. I haven't had to slow down too much yet myself. But I say that because God sometimes asks us to give up things. What am I willing to give up for God? And people have given up a lot for different things. Some by choice, some not by choice. When I was in Kalispell, was there, the Wall of Healing, it was called. In the background, you can see where all those little flags are. That's actually a half-scale replica of the wall that has all the name of the veterans that died in, soldiers that died in Vietnam. And there's that one wreath that recognized Canadian soldiers that had died, Canadians that died in Vietnam. There was 500,000 names on that wall. And 134 of them were Canadians. And it was kind of sobering. Because these, if there's 100, if there's a 500,000 names there, there's 500,000 people who lost a son over there. Now let's take a look at Abraham. The Lord asked Abraham to give up his son. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, they said, here am I. And they said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Isaac, who you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. It's very clear here that Abraham loved his son Isaac. Not hard to understand that. But think, what would have been going through Abraham's mind at this time? Lord, this is the son we waited all our lives to have, and you've finally given us a son, and you say, through this son, you're going to bless the whole earth and make a great nation of me, and now you want me to give him up to you? Lord, what's going on here? Besides, aren't you against child sacrifice? How did Abraham respond to God? Abraham obeyed without delay. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. Must have been early the next morning. Probably didn't even tell Sarah what he was about to do. Just that he was going off to do the sacrifice that the Lord told him to do. But he didn't say anything about Isaac in there. Took two of his young men and Isaac, split some wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place which God had told him. How would we have responded? I think I would say, well, Lord, can I wait till tomorrow night, and you just tell me again, make sure I got it right here? Or Lord, can I have just a couple weeks with Isaac before I have to do this? Would that make it any easier? I'll tell you an interesting little personal experience that I had. It happened on August 1st, 1978. I was in Uranium City and taking my wife up to the hospital, and she gave birth to a son. And I went back down home and took the babysitter home, and I was just there in the house with myself, and the other kids were still sleeping. And I was praying and thanking God for this son that he had given me. God doesn't do this very often, but that's one of those times he spoke to me in my mind very clearly. To give him to me. And my immediate reaction was, no, Lord, you'll take him from me. And almost as instantly as I said that, I realized, Lord, you could snatch that child from me in an instant, and I could do nothing about it. So I prayed right there and gave my son to the Lord. Now, I wish I could say he's living for the Lord today. He's not. Of all my children, he's the one that says he's an atheist or at least an agnostic. And that breaks my heart. But I've given him to God. I don't know what God's going to do in his life. But I'm waiting. Maybe I won't see it. Maybe it won't happen until after I'm gone. God will get a hold of his heart. I don't know. I have to trust him. What was God asking Abraham to do here? Was it a sacrifice? In a sense it was, because he says, go ahead and give him as a burnt offering. But see, God knew what he was doing, so there's a little bit more on that going on. Over in Micah, I read this the other day. It says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Even that's not enough. Because it's so great, our sin is so great. If I did offer my son in a sacrifice, that wouldn't pay for my sin. So why do that? He has shown me, O God, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you. But to do justly, God is the one who justifies. So we're to live according to his standards in response. To love mercy. What's mercy? That's God's grace. That's God's goodness to us. That's God's love toward us. We love his love. We put our faith and trust in him and receive his forgiveness. And then we walk humbly with our God. Was it a temptation? The Bible says, let no one say that when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. God does not tempt us. Now sometimes God allows us to be tempted. And he uses that as a test. But he only allows us to be tempted so far. And gives us, and if we just trust God, he gives us the strength to be victorious over that temptation. So what was this? Was it a test? Well, right there in the first verse, it says, God tested Abraham. This was a test that God was taking Abraham through. Now, what did Abraham expect of God? It's interesting, the interaction between Isaac and his father. That's why I say Isaac must have been about 10 or 12 years old, just the way he's thinking all this whole thing through. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here, my son. And he said, look, the fire. Then, of course, they take some coals of fire in a pot and keep it warm, and that's how they would start the fire. Here's the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham, I've seen you do this before, but there's no lamb here. Something's missing. Well, Abraham is not going to tell his son yet what's up. And he does say, and I think he says this in faith, really trusting that God's going to come through here somehow. He says, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. God, Abraham didn't know how, but he was trusting God. Over in Hebrews, there's another clue about what Abraham was thinking. It says there, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. God already given Abraham that promise. In Isaac your seed is going to be called. So Isaac has to grow up and have children so there can be a great race of people. Abraham knew that, and then he's probably, all this is going through his mind. So he concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, for which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham believed that if he didn't wind up having to slay his son, that God would raise him up because God had asked him to do this, and that's the only thing. He just didn't know how it was all going to work out, but he was being obedient to God. So what happened? Then they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order.
And then Isaac found out what was happening.
And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. You see, God intervening right at the last moment. And God does it that way in my life sometimes. He takes me to the last moment before he answers your prayer. Takes me to the last moment before he provides. Because he wants us to know, he wants me to know anyway, that he's the one who's doing the providing. That's kind of going on here. And so Abraham says, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham probably went, this was just a test. You took me right down to the wire. It says there, now I know that you fear God. Why would the Lord say that to Abraham? Didn't God already know Abraham's heart? Of course he did. But Abraham was, or God was showing Abraham's heart to him and to us. A man of faith who totally trusted God in this tough situation. A man who was willing to give up his only son to be obedient to God. And then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked behind him. And there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Let's think about this. No, if Abraham was preparing that altar, where was the ram? He was probably already there, but Abraham was so focused he didn't know that. And God, of course, was superintending all this. So all the timing would be right. And then he hears the ram and looks behind and says, oh, there's a ram for a sacrifice. And I want you to emphasize those words, instead of his son. Because the ram was a substitute that Abraham offered, that God provided. So Abraham did not have to lose his son. Then Abraham renamed this place Jehovah Jireh. That's the Hebrew Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord will provide. Literally, it means the Lord sees. God was walking down and seeing and provided. And Abraham called the name of the place, that place, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. It's one of the most meaningful names of Scripture to me. Because I see over and over again how God has provided for me. Yes, he provides in financial ways sometimes, and that's often. And yes, he provides in protection and things like that. But the most awesome thing that God has provided is his salvation for of my soul. And I'll get into that just a little bit more in a moment. But just to finish up what was going on with Abraham here. Afterward, then, the angel of the Lord talked to Abraham some more. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you've obeyed me, and I've not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I think that's referring to Jesus, because the gospel has gone forth through the all nations of the earth. All because you have obeyed me. Abraham was obedient to God, obedient in faith. A couple questions here. What did the Lord provide for Abraham? He provided a lamb instead of Isaac. What has God provided for us? He's provided Jesus, who died on the cross and paid for our sin. The substitute, because we cannot pay for our own sin ourselves.
See, this incident is a picture of Jesus providing our salvation. I've put this verse on there in two different translations just to kind of help us understand it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, he made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The New Living Translation maybe makes it a little clearer. For God made Christ, Jesus, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. That's what God has done for us. So that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's what Christ has done for us. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who's provided. He is the substitute to pay for our sin because we couldn't pay for our sin ourselves. We can try to be good, but we can't be good enough. We can try to be faithful to God, but we can't be faithful enough because you always mess up in some way. So what we have here is a picture of God working. Abraham is a picture of God the Father. God the Father gave us his son to die for us. Abraham gave up his son, was willing to anyway. And Abraham is a picture, or Isaac is a picture of God the Son. God gave, or Abraham gave his son. God gave his son, Jesus. The ram also is a picture of Jesus. In the case of Abraham, the ram is the substitute, so he didn't have to lose his son. In the case of Jesus Christ, it's the other way around. Christ is the substitute, so we can be forgiven. The ram is the picture of Jesus as our substitute, the one who paid for our sin, so we wouldn't have to go and be punished in hell. God has provided the way of escape, the only way of escape, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, Brother Steve talked about the eternal judgment that's coming. But God has provided the way of escape. What has the Lord provided for us through Christ? That same verse I quoted before. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus died in our place, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we confess our sin to him, he forgives our sin. We surrender to him to live for him. He comes into our lives, he changes us, he makes us right with God. He puts your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're ready to go and meet him. And here's just a few verses from 1 Peter that kind of pulls these thoughts together. I know it's a little bit lengthy, but let's read through them. And if you call on the Father who, without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. We cannot spend enough money to forgive our sins. Can't even get started. The one and only time I heard Billy Graham preach was in Edmonton. And he's preaching on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said, all the oil in Alberta cannot buy you eternal life. And then he says, because it's free. Yes, God does offer the free gift of eternal life. But for God, it wasn't free. God paid with the blood of his own son. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. How precious is the blood of Christ? It's totally precious because only the blood of Christ can cleanse us from our sin. As a lamb without blemish and without spot, Jesus was perfect. He could make a perfect sacrifice and fully pay for our sin because he's God. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. In other words, this was all set up in God's plan before he created us.
was manifest or made known in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. And Isaiah chapter 53 describes how Jesus is our substitute for our sin. Isaiah 53 is called the suffering servant. It's a picture, a prophecy that really refers to Jesus. And many Jews who have rejected Jesus Christ, they don't know how to interpret this passage. And they have really real trouble with it. But it's talking about Jesus, and it's the prophecy to that effect. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise his son Jesus. He has put him to grief. When he made his soul an offering for sin, that's what Jesus Christ was doing. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. God is satisfied with what Christ has done on the cross. Fully satisfies his righteous demands that our sin be fully paid for. Jesus did it. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, which is a title for Jesus, shall justify many. And Jesus justifying many all over the world. People are coming to Jesus and receiving his forgiveness. Is it your turn? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. That's what Jesus did. He was numbered with the transgressors there on the cross. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He's the one between us and God who's paid for our sin. He's the only one who could do that. He's the one that we need to trust in, because he's the only one that can make us right with God. Jesus suffered God's wrath in our place, and we need to come to him. He is the only way of escape. As I mentioned, did a funeral yesterday for the man who was my pastor 3 times. And we sang that song, Face to Face, my favorite from when I was a little boy. At the end. That wasn't planned by me. That was planned by the family. But after we sang that song, I realized what a hope we have in Jesus. We can come to him face to face. Yes, we're sinners, but Christ has paid for our sin. And yes, because we're sinners, we want to run away from God. But what does Jesus say? There he is on the wall. Come unto me, you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. There's no rest in running from God. But there is rest when we come to him at the foot of the cross and ask Jesus Christ to forgive our sin and come into our lives. That's where the deliverance comes. Then we're ready to meet Christ. And not run away from him. But look forward to meeting him in eternity. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus Christ, the only substitute, is the substitute for our sin. Fully paid for our sin. Lord, may we not trample on our feet, but instead kneel at the feet of Jesus and receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.